Greetings and salutations, everyone. I am AD2GS. My name is Roy. I'm the control operator of this Alimar technical net. It's been going strong for over 46 years, and every Sunday night at around 8 p.m., we sit in front of our radios, and we chat with each other, we teach each other, we learn from each other, and hopefully we entertain each other. And I thank you once again for joining me this particular Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we try and do it all over again. Let me drop a second, and I will give you the usual links. Okay, if you would like to reach me via email, one of my many email addresses is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. If you would like to reach Paul and have some space for NASA-related story and maybe hear the respond and answer on the technical NASA SpaceNet report, his email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. We also offer a link page of interesting articles that I've picked up throughout the week. I cut and paste them, push them on the weekend, and they're available for the foreseeable future. If you have a case of insomnia or boredom and you want to take a look at some articles that I thought were interesting in the last week, they're available. Just type into your browser, roy.ac2gs.com. We also offer an audio stream of the internet, of the technical net, and we leave it live the rest of the week so you can listen into the Glenn L. Peter. You can access that by typing into your browser, technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll give you the stream. Now, occasionally, you might get a little hiccup. It might make an error comment, and if that's the case, go up to the URL at the top and look to see if there's an HTTPS at the top of what you just typed. If you find an HTTPS, remove the letter S and hit enter, and it should go through with HTTP and what you just wrote. So keep that in mind. It's a little bit of a clue. Also, every week, I like to remind people that MikeAC2NJI has a great archive site called AmateurRadio.tv. It has archives of the Alimar technical net that go as far back as September of 2006. So consider looking at them and listening to the audio files. Wisdom of a whole bunch of very smart amateur radio operators who have either moved away from the area or unfortunately become silent keys over the years. That's available to you. Let me drop for a second. I will return and tell you what we got planned for tonight. Okay, it's going to be a generic vanilla edition of the technical net. We don't have any. I will tell you a couple of little short bits of news in the artificial intelligence world. They're always making news, and the news is going to be important, either good news or bad news. It's going to be very important to the world because they're going to have a massive effect one way or the other. So I will offer a very short of things that have happened over the past week and allow people the opportunity to either comment on them, ask questions about them, or generally bounce around the subject of artificial intelligence. You don't necessarily have to bring up the subject now. Later on in the technical net, very often the subject is brought up again. So if we don't cover it now, we'll cover it in an hour or so. So I give you the opportunity. That should take us to the main segment of technical net. I will ask for questions and comments on different topics. And if you science-related technical aspects of the world or amateur radio, possibly. It would be nice if some people had video questions. This is an amateur radio net, but nevertheless, we'll ask for questions topics that should hopefully cover next hour and change. We'll be done hopefully probably 10:15. WS2N will join us for the SpaceNet report. That should take us all the way to 11 p.m., and I will return to tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the coming week. That's the plan. If my shaka doesn't break down, if I don't break down, if the repeater doesn't break down, and if I don't get shake off a Baltar too many times, it's very possible that once or twice during the technical net, I will seem to disappear. Just give me a minute or two to reset a few things, and I should be back reasonably quickly. So that's the plan. Let me drop, and we will discuss the wonderful world of artificial intelligence. Okay, Meta has this Muse Glimmer. It released a 30 billion parameter open weight model designed to run multi-step offline workloads locally on consumer Macintoshes and PC GPUs. So bringing Meta's experimentation to everyone who has their own computer instead of having to wait for a data center. Claude is watermarking its output. Anthropic began embedding invisible structural watermarks directly into the text generated by Claude to signal AI about impacting readability. So it'll give us a better opportunity to kind of figure out where these things are coming from, because a lot of them are not really labeled. Suno Audio Control. The platform Suno announced upcoming audio watermarking, fingerprinting, and stricter monthly download cap to curb mass distribution on streaming services. So we'll have a better understanding if music is machine music, is artificial intelligence music, is slot music. Infrastructure shift. A report emerged that NVIDIA has scaled back portions of a massive funding guarantee tied to an Ohio OpenAI data center project. So data center projects are kind of failing all over the place. And a lot of politicians are hearing angry voters distrust for it. So all those massive number of data centers, a lot of them will probably either take a much longer to be built or be built at all. Last story, OpenAI continued an ongoing leadership shuffle by naming a new chief revenue officer. So people keep jumping off a sinking ship, even though they're close to the IPO where they actually get the payoff. They're still quitting. So something seems to be rotten going on there. So that's my couple of little tidbits. If anyone has any comments, questions, if we should talk, and say your piece. Okay, no questions, no comments, nothing on artificial intelligence. As I said before, usually when this happens, an hour or two later, someone brings up the subject and we're back on the subject. So we'll let it go the natural way. We'll move on to our major segment of the night, and later on you will have an opportunity, as always, to bring up the subject once again. So we're open for business. If anyone has any questions or times for tonight, please hit that push to talk and give me your first name, your call sign, whether it's ham radio related or science and technology and what have you.
Enter extreme ham radio related.
Okay, West, recognize anyone else want to put their name on the list for tonight? Okay, I guess we're going to have a real short version of the technical net tonight. I don't know, doctors are infamous for taking August, but I guess we're ham. One last chance, I mean, it's later, but if anyone wants to put their name on the list for tonight, please hit the push to talk and tell me who you is.
Hey, Roy, Don, King Bravo 2, also got a pod on, Florida. You might want to educate me on Mars, the analog radio again, and SAW, what's that all about? I'm using it, I'm not familiar with it. Maybe you can elaborate on that a little. I'm hoping those functions are the computer, the repeaters. I checked into a traffic net on Sunday night. I'll be early and I hear a couple of people using analog and stars. I'm on Echo Link right now, so I'm familiar with the Echo Link, but maybe you want to elaborate on that a little. Thank you, Roy.
Okay, right. I'm not really familiar. Analog, you say?
Well, there's ours, and then there's other ones. I might be saying it wrong. There's another mode that they're using. I don't know if it's a computer or at the top of my head, I can't remember. I heard one thing that they're using. That kind of mode of communication that we were.
Okay, either you got the name wrong or I don't know. When you say star, you mean all star?
Yeah, all star for that. I can't remember the other one.
Okay, all star is being used more and more throughout the years. It's a voice over internet protocol audio channel that runs through the internet that is also connected to repeaters and users. So you can get your own all star and you can connect your all star node, say, to LimeWire's all star node and get a direct feed through that method. And you can take that type of a setup all the way to the West Coast and connect it through the internet, and it'll be relatively directly connected to the LimeWire repeater through internet protocol rather than through RF. We have people who are connected through AllStar, the way that we have people connected through EchoLink. EchoLink is a little bit older, I think, and the people who run it have their own guidelines. They prefer that people don't use it to listen to repeaters, but to transmit and interact with repeaters. They expect to have a direct connection between a licensed amateur radio operator and then connect to a repeater and then transmit and traffic exchange back and forth. AllStar is a little bit vaguer. It's a little bit more difficult to get access to a node. In order to get a node, you have to explain to them why you need the node. And rather than software-based, which is EchoLink, you can get a PC program that does EchoLink. You can get an iPhone that does EchoLink. AllStar requires an actual hotspot-like device, very similar to, in the case of digital radio, DMR, D-Star, Fusion, what have you. Their devices that they use to link look very similar. The electronics is a little bit different. And occasionally, the AllStar nodes are capable of operating as regular DMR or D-Star link. That's a short version. AllStar operate through unique identifier and node numbers. Once you get a node, you get a number, and that's the node when when you operate your node. And like I said, LimeWire has its own node that they operate through. And connect, I think they connect their other local repeaters directly through their AllStar node, but they are also capable of being linked by third-party people, you know, throughout the country, throughout the world. They can link their AllStar node to LimeWire and communicate.
Okay, well, I got that. The other one you just said it was DMR. So, the question I have you is, now, like, normally I would have a handball key and I would go to the repeater. So you're saying, am I using my handball key to go to my computer and then talking to a repeater? That way, maybe you can elaborate, remember anything wrong. How do you communicate with DMR? Do you have a physical handheld in your hand, or do you have a mic headset up your computer? That's my question.
Okay, DMR is a type of digital voice. You have different methods of communicating on DMR. The simplest to explain is you have a DMR radio and you transmit to a local DMR repeater, and then the repeater itself is capable of doing links like all USA, English, and there's all kinds of talk groups that it can link to, and you can communicate with your radio to the repeater radio. Another option is to take the repeater out of the equation, and these local links in your house are for. They are a way to have the gateways of digital domain. So for that, what you could do is you could have a DMR radio, and then you have a hot link locally in your house that plugs into your internet provider, and that will connect to a talking group of your choice that you enable the hot link to accomplish. There's all the option of tying it into a computer program, in which instead of using a DMR handy talkie as the connection between you and your link through the internet, you can use a computer program, and you could use the speaker and the microphone of your computer to act as the in-between. So there's a few different ways going on to things like DMR gateways or fusion gateways or DSTAR gateways. It depends upon your preferences. Some links allow any type of handy talkie to operate as the intermediaries. Like, there are some gateways that only operate on DMR, and you sort of need a handy talkie to initiate that conversation. But the more sophisticated devices can take a fusion radio or a DSTAR radio and transcode it into a DMR radio so that you could use any digital voice mode for that given connection.
Okay. Now, normally, I have a repeater directory for little repeater. Is there such an animal with DMR or AllStar? Where do I look? Let's say I want to buy a DMR radio. Let's say I want to talk to LimeWire. Is there a way, or do you have to assign the number? Do you have to remember? How do you get access or permission? I have a phone with Echo Link, but it's nice to have a hand talkie. Yeah, it feels like a hobby to be a hand talkie, not a high phone. Having a hand talkie really good in my hand. But I might be saying that a little wrong also. Why do I get some information on it? Where would I look?
Okay, if you would like something that connects to LimeWire, per se, because it's different for different repeaters. Digital repeaters have different gateways. So in the case of LimeWire is EchoLink and AllStar. So if you don't want to go through EchoLink, then the option is AllStar. So you would Google on your computer AllStar, and there are a whole bunch of different people and companies that build and manufacture and sell AllStar. No, they're hotspots that are primarily AllStar based. So for that, you wouldn't even need a digital handy talkie. You could have a regular handy talkie set up on the frequency for your hotspot, for your AllStar hotspot, and you would dial in to the AllStar node that is being used by LimeWire. And then you would have a connection very similar to EchoLink, except you would be using a handy talkie as the interface to a hotspot that you bought. And when you bought the hotspot, you get your own personal node number that identifies you that you can use to make connections to the rest of the AllStar network, which includes, as I mentioned earlier, LimeWire.
KG2RY.
Yes, David?
One thing you might want to try is an app, and the app works on Windows and also Android. Works on Android and iPhone. I'm the Mac iOS. And I think it's called RepeaterBot. You can look it up. And what it does is you can communicate on AllStar node, and you can also communicate on EchoLink. and you choose the repeaters by search, and it works really good. Thank you.
Thank you, David. You know for a fact that Limark's node is accessible?
I'm talking on it right now.
Okay, good. So that's another option. It, to me, it's very, very similar to EchoLink. So, you know, you, for whatever reason, because the gentleman, John, is looking for something that he could use a handy-talky as the interface.
Well, I have to say, the All-Star sounds much better than the EchoLink in terms of audio quality. I use the handy-talkie with my duplex hotspot with two static talkers in it. Number 91, number 92. 91 is worldwide, and 92 is Europe. And I have to say, it works really great. But, you know, the DMR is not set up to communicate with the repeater.
Yeah, we don't have a DMR connector. What is available for iPhone?
I forget what it's called, Repeater Plus, something like that. And it gives you the option of All-Star or EchoLink.
Okay, I'll have to take a look at it. I mean, I already have All-Star set up and such. I mean, I basically, this transmission is based through a All-Star link.
QSL. Sounds good. KG2R1.
Okay, thank you very much. John, did you hear all that?
Yes, I did. Now, the interface, is that something purchased in your local, I guess, online, something on Amazon, that is equipment that's supposed to marry up your home internet? What is that particular product?
Yeah, you usually find it online. You can order them. They'll ship them for our fixed versions that are well, less expensive, quite as well made. If you Google also, and you'll see a number of different manufacturers for different price points, very much like a DMR or a DSR or a Fusion spot in that. You know, it basically has you dial in your All-Star node, your password. It adds to the frequency of the handy talkie that you're going to be using. And a couple other little bits and pieces about you, your call sign, credentials, geography and such, and you turn it on, plug it into your internet connection, and you should be fine.
Hey, G2R1.
Yes, David?
I'll make a recommendation. Since it seems to be the most, how to say that they work, seem to work the best, you know, in the long run, is have a look at a website called BridgeCom, BRIDGECOM, and they sell a whole bunch of these things.
As I'm aware, they do not sell All-Star equipment. They have a hotspot that's capable of cross coding for DSR and DMR and Fusion. But last time I checked, I didn't see that they had an All-Star as part of it. And you also have to kind of get your All-Star though to someone. So I'm not quite sure if they're the best way at this point, unless they changed and extended their capability.
You're right, sir. Okay. Yeah. Node number 576290 W2VL on iPhone 15.
Yeah. That's a node. I'm using it right now.
QSL.
Okay, getting back to you, John. So, I mean, it's as simple as Googling All-Star node, and you'll get a laundry list. Well, a laundry list, but there's got to be at least five or six different places you could place orders for different brands of
open. Okay, Roy, thank you. And the other thing to thank you for that input is very interesting. Yeah, like I said, I have a couple of hand dogs home, and I got some years ago, and I think you maybe try to mold if I can. And I'll just Google, and see what comes up. I'm telling what, and I guess it's all very precise.
Okay, good luck. And if you have any further questions or problems choosing or setting it up, feel free to come back and discuss it.
Roger, the other thing's a DICOM, right? They want a DICOM, but you broke up there a little bit, Roy, in the beginning.
No, he said BridgeCom. BridgeCom is they basically resell Anytone handy talkies and a bunch of other things, and they also have a hotspot. It's good quality, but it's kind of expensive because they throw in lesson plans for people who want to you know, learn more about it instead of having to search themselves on the internet. They have tutor sessions and such. So they charge, unfortunately, for that premium. So, but they don't have an All-Star device. They're hotspots for DSR, DMR, and Fusion.
Okay, but very good. You said BridgeCom? Because I'm not getting the beginning so much. I'm a little out of here.
Yes, BridgeCom. BRIDGECOM.
Okay, very good. I will look into that. Thank you, guys. And I'll be on the line. Probably off the top of our line. Thank you very much.
Okie doke. Thanks for participating, as always. We appreciate it. Anyone else want to put their name on the list for tonight? Hit the push to talk and tell me.
K2NE, Sam.
Oh, Sam, you're rather noisy tonight. What happened?
Really?
Yeah, you're breaking up repeatedly. I mean, I could make out the words, but with some difficulty.
Oh, I have no explanation for that. We'll try it another time then, Roy. Hey, rousing conversation.
No, let's give it a chance. If it's not working, we'll terminate it.
Adding to the list.
Okay, surprise, you're next up on the list. We're saving Wesley for a little later.
WB2BXO.
Yes, sir.
Okay, just wanted to go on the list.
Okay, anyone else? Gosh, I hope that is them, because it's even noisier than before. I can't make out who this is, but you're very, very, very noisy. If you could kind of wiggle your antenna or lose your gain or find a hill, I don't know, but I can't even recognize who you might be.
Kilo Echo 2, Hotel.
I'm making out little bits and pieces, but not enough to figure out who you might be.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right, I heard Kilo Echo 2, and then we lost them.
Yeah, but then we got some other stories, so maybe we should move on. Sam, if you're out there and you want to give it a try, we'll hear your reception tolerable. We'll give it a try. It's up to you.
Okay, Roy. How copy at this moment?
Reasonably fine. A little bit around the edges,
my
we can deal with.
My question is, if 20 meters is hot, why not the other band?
Because frequency effects propagate an incredibly great deal and interact with a different ionization band and has different favored modes depending upon time of day and other circumstances. 150 meters and 80 meters is much better to use to operate during the nighttime because when the sun is out, it energizes the D layer of the ionic too much. So instead of just giving it enough, refractory waves to curve the radio waves around the Earth and excitation before it escapes into outer space. It works that way. But in the case of things like 160 or 80, it injects a lot of extra static into the signal, obscuring the signal. That's why, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, if you turn on 80 meters, it's just a lot of noise. There's nothing going on. That isn't the case of the higher frequencies, obviously. 10 meters is usually best during when the sun is out, because it's necessary to light up the F1 and F2 layer of the ionosphere and give the sideways propagation without it going into outer space. 20 someplace in the middle. It's usually used during daylight. At night, when the sun is out and the ionosphere is less energized, the 20 meter frequencies will tend to not refract, and they'll just kind of go into outer space and not propagate on skyway, just locally on ground wave. Sam, are you out there? I guess we lost Sam. I hope everything is okay, and hopefully he'll get back to us a little bit later. We'll give it one more time. Sam, are you out there? No, nothing heard. So, I mean, ultimately, for the rest of you people listening, as some of you know and some of you don't know, that different bands have different characteristics. They are good at different times. They're good at, 6 meters is famous for being the magic during sun activity. When sunset activity is low, it's a magic band. And whereas, 80 meters is best when there's no particular ionization going on up there. So they're all kind of vaguely different, and it took many years for amateur radio operators to learn the difference. Back in the bad old days when the Navy ran frequencies, they gave us the high frequencies, 150 and up, because they thought they were completely worthless because they had not enough research. And superficially, it was just that there were less complications for the lower frequencies. So they gave us everything above for a while. Once they made their error, they took back bits and pieces of the high frequency band. Anyway, hopefully we'll have an opportunity to come back and join us. But until then, I guess we should move on. Frank, what can I do?
Okay, very good. First of all, I want to let you know you're breaking up. It sounds like you're breaking up at my end. It may be packet loss on my end, which of course is a different propagation than different phenomena than poor radio propagation. As long as the guy on my local repeater has been very happy with the Bobang Kilo 5 K5 Plus, 120, I guess 25 some odd. I haven't looked it up, but some of the guys said they got them for like $25 on Amazon. And I was wondering if you or any of the guys here ever tried those and whether whether they have it back actually worked and performed reasonably well, since I know some of the $5 and $10 Bofangs have had a reputation over the years for not working. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm always confused. They seem to have a lot of different model names, but I'm always curious about the electronics inside. I wouldn't surprise if most of the different models were pretty much the same internal electronics. I've never heard of a $5 Bofang. I mean, I think the cheapest one was now $30, $35, which is right. You know, I mean, I would be very, very confused by a $5 handy talkie. I mean, if you went to the six and bought a toy handy talkie, it probably would cost more.
It looks like we lost All-Star. On the bar on right-hand side of Echo Link, we had All-Star, and I don't see All-Star. And we said, station that was from... I look at it as no All-Star station.
Well, like I said before, I'm connected to All-Star, so the fact that you hear me, although some people are saying that I'm breaking up, waveform doesn't look that particularly awful, but you can never really tell from the fidelity waveform. But there might be some problem with the repeater's control connection star or Echo Link or what have you. It wouldn't be the first time.
There's some QRM, too.
Well, yeah, there's some guy who thinks he's humorous.
QSO.
Yeah, that always seems to be a problem. Frank is still out there.
Whatchamacallit, Echo Link didn't seem to be keying for a moment there. Again, it could have been a problem at my end. If other people are saying you're breaking up, there may be a problem, something going on with Echo Link's connectivity. Yeah, you know, I honestly haven't looked at prices on the Bofang, so they may not have actually been selling for $5. Maybe some of the Bofang radios have typically been in the $25 or $40 range, but I know a lot have been cheaper than anything else on the market, and that I recall some of the guys saying that you or somebody might have said on the net that what was happening was guys buying a bunch of the really cheap radios on the grounds that about one out of four of them actually work. They buy four of them and throw three away and need one that works. The guys seem to be giving high marks to K5 Plus, so I'm wondering if that one has better quality control, and if you buy one, there's a good chance it would actually work, even at the very low price.
Well, I mean, there's always a possibility that they got control of their quality, and improved it. It's all the kind of hit or miss. If you're lucky, the radio is decent. If you're not lucky, it's a narrow FM mode, and it sounds like you're whispering. I'm curious, if anyone out there has had any experience with a Bofang K5 Plus model and would like to say whether they found it better than the old stuff or just the same, feel free.
I use a number of other models.
Okay, I mean, they're ubiquitous. Almost everyone at this point has a couple banging around a Bofang. I call it my disposable radio. If I lose it, I can because it's just that remarkably. It's very lightweight. It feels rather frail. I wouldn't trust it in cases of emergency situations, but, you know, how could you go wrong for only about $30 or give or take? So I think it's okay, but I every so often people will tell me these terrible stories of these I just got their license, and for the next 3 years, they get an endless number of Bofang inexpensive handy talkie radios. They don't buy anything, and they just seem.
Are you there, Roy?
And hi, Jordan. Do I share any of the English conference? Over.
Ben, say again, I got knocked off Altar.
No, I'm just wondering if you're still there.
Well, like I said before, I got knocked off Altar. What can I tell you?
Well, you know, you can say all kinds of things. This is your technet.
Within reason, and there's still FEC guidelines and good taste.
I don't know. It's a question of judgment and measurement. Some people, that's all they do.
I guess so, but getting back to the subject at hand, I realize you have some Bofang models. I have some Bofang models. I don't know about yours, but I found they're touch and go. They're, it's a crapshoot. It's basically you take a little chance, and, you know, worst comes to worst, you got a terrible radio for $30, you know. I mean, it's not the worst thing that'll ever befall me. You know, it's like $300, for a Kenwood or something, and it was kind of mediocre. I'd be upset.
Well, you know, I had some very good experience. ICOM ID31A. Lot, and Anytone ATD878UV, and Yaesu FT60R would blow away all of those offhang radios.
Well, yes, but they got on course about 10 times with most of those radios. I have an Anytone. I have a couple of Anytones. I think they're very well built. They're very sturdy. They're solid. They're kind of heavy. When you get a Balfong up in your hand, it's like a feather. You wonder if you open up a case, there's probably a little integrated circuit in the middle of it tied up to some wire strapping or something. Whereas Anytone and all the Japanese radios that you mentioned are significantly better built. So that's not surprising.
Well, I tell you, the Balfang, you know, all of my Balfangs very sensitive for receiving signals compared to like Quansheng K6, which is a great little transceiver, but you know, it's not as sensitive. But I really like for the Quansheng and the Baofeng, all the Baofeng, you know, that I can plug in a little earpiece and I can listen to the FM radio when I'm walking down the street.
Right. I mean, I don't think that's a primary interest in amateur radio operators, you know, who buy Kenwood and Icon and the other companies. And there are better made, more expensive handy talkies that also have the FM feature. We talked about Anytone just a few minutes ago. UM kind of was on my other technical net, and her problem was that accidentally she had triggered the FM mode of her Anytone, and she had no idea how to turn it off.
What do you know about Yaesu VX6HT?
Not much. I don't own any Yaesu handy talkies. I have one of the later digital mode Yaesus, but that's about the only handy talkie from Yaesu that I own, know anything about.
Well, they make one. I think it's called, DR70, something like that, with a very basic HT for analog, but also for digital. And, I'm not sure what the difference would be from that AT to more advanced HT that has a shortwave built-in, shortwave receiver.
Well, I would guess it's the coverage of the shortwave receiver. I mean, there are many ways that you can make a product more expensive to manufacture and then to sell. An initial handy talkie, I guess you could make it single-banded because most modern-day handy talkies are dual-banded. So there's lots of different feature sets that you could cut down on to save a couple of bucks here and there. You stepped on someone else, David. The other person, speak again. Again, there's a lot of noise in your transmission. I'm having problems understanding. Try again.
The number of the radio make and put your question in, and the AI should be able to answer it, either Gemini or Copilot.
Well, I'm sure there are actual simple Google to get you the same information. If you're curious about a model of a radio, you can go to the manufacturer and look it up as well. We have regular conversations about AI, and although they can, I guess, be helpful, they have this real annoying habit of hallucinating things. So I wouldn't really rely on AI answers. A lot of times they're useful, but if you just kind of query the manufacturer's site, you can probably get something that's close to 100% correct as opposed to 95% with most AIs.
I go to DX Engineer.
That's a good site as well. That's a retailer that's associated with a manufacturer, so that's a legitimate source for information. I mean, unfortunately, people are kind of being unlearned of doing their own research and just kind of run to the AI. And the company that are expecting us to pay $1 trillion to use the AI eventually are more than happy to develop those types of habits. And too much of that has already been proven to kind of decrease our critical thought processes. We kind of just learn to just ask a big AI. So, in moderation, all things, but and also check your answers, because I've gotten answers I knew were completely wrong from AIs, and they're very polite and they're very complimentary. They'll tell you what a person you are for realizing that they're an idiot, but unfortunately, you're stuck with the wrong answer at the end of the day. So again, eternal vigilance is the price of not being run by our AI overlord these days.
That's why we talk to people.
like I said, I mean, I could make it a voice, but there's so much crackle and static and such that it's difficult to understand what you're saying. I'm sorry. I wish there was some way of kind of tuning you in better, locking you down on the repeater, but it just needs more RF. By the way, David, I see you coming up on the Limewark website as a also. I didn't notice that before. Is this your first week that you've used this method to get in?
Negative. I've used it a number of times.
Okay, I'm not always staring at the screen.
Well, you know, I bought this app, you know, the App Store, for a few shekels, and I install it into the phone, and I use it basically on all stars. So from how it works, I have to tell you, I had a Windows 10 computer, and I used to do the same old star with the Windows 10 computer.
The same thing what?
Old star.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, there's different ways of accessing old star nodes. You can do it through the computer, you can do it through an app.
Well, back in the day when I was using my Windows 10 computer, you know, I accessed all star with JavaScript. JavaScript and a, what do I call it, an all star node transceiver.
Yeah, they've been tinkering with it for some time, so that's reasonable.
Yeah. I use a kind of odd, unknown browser that is designed, you know, for the JavaScript, and to access all star, you know, I had to have a microphone plugged into the computer because it was a really old computer, and a speaker attached, you know, with an amplifier in the speaker so I could hear.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it worked okay. Hey, you know, I have a question for you. Let me know if I can ask a question now.
Well, let me settle things with, you know, Frank kind of wanted to know if anyone was using a K5 Plus. So let's wrap that up, and then I'll go to you. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Anyone out there with any experience or secondhand experience with a Baofeng K5 Plus radios? Okay, thank you. It looks like we have no takers who have any opinions one way or the other.
You know, there might be reviews on the internet. Reviews specifically for that make and model.
Well, that's true. But, you know, I mean, Frank doesn't kind of need us to Google for himself. But, yeah, you might kind of go searching. The problem I always have with reviews is you kind of have to use a couple of grains of salt to take any kind of review. There's always a couple of guys who can't figure out how to turn anything on. And so we get a zero or a one-half of a star review. And then there's people who may or may not be associated with the manufacturer or the retailer who thinks it's the best thing since the invention of the sandwich.
Well, you know, just be careful with these radios not to drop them on the floor because they can easily be damaged. But I think, you know, if you use it well and you don't drop it on the floor, you probably get pretty decent performance from it.
Again, it sort of depends. I mean, early Baofengs were infamous. A lot of them were locked into very narrow FM mode, so the audio was much weaker than it would necessarily had to be, and since it was designed with kind of write once a memory, you couldn't really just kind of upgrade the firmware. Whatever it was burnt into was it. So it was very, very intermittent, you know, erratic of, you know, whether you got a pretty decent radio or whether you got a kind of very mediocre radio, no matter what you did. The same manufacturer, a lot of times same retailer, it's just a randomness of the distribution of the manufactured models. They had very low quality assurance. And as far as I'm aware, a lot of Chinese companies continue to be, have problems with quality assurance.
Yeah, but I think these days it's a little bit different. You know, you can set the bandwidth of the signal in some kind of software. Either software that is made by Baofeng specifically for the radio, or Chirp. And Chirp is, I think, a great way to program the radio. So if you want to get inside the bandwidth setting of the FM, then use the Chirp software or the programming software that Baofeng.
Not really. This has been published repeatedly by a lot of other people who try to do these things. But the early, unless they've changed it, the early Baofengs were hard-coded. You know, once you burn the ROM, you burn the ROM. It's not rewritable.
I guess maybe that's why they're so inexpensive compared to the other radios. But, you know, I have four Baofeng here, and I don't have have that problem with any of them. And specifically UV5R, UV5R plus, simple, the very basic radio, you know, 4 and 5 watts. 5 watts for 2 meter, 4 watts for UHF. One of them has 220.
Okay, then maybe you've been very fortunate. It's not kind of obvious. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't go up on the screen, narrow FM or anything like that. It's just the audio is, you can never get the audio particularly strong for those particular UV5, I guess they usually were. But again, I have a sense that a lot of these things are just the same exact model, but in a different shell.
Perhaps you're right. You know, UV5R is the basic file thing. You can program it from Chirp or some other programming software, and it works great. Just don't drop it on the floor.
Okay, well, yeah, people have different opinions. Again, I wouldn't. It's okay for your first radio. It's okay for your kid's first radio. I would not build my entire shack made out of a number of valve pumps that string at one time across my life. I feel very sorry for those. It's like someone who gets a driver's license and uses it to ride a tricycle around his backyard.
Well, hopefully, you know, from the UV5R valve thing, you know, person can advance to the next level.
Well, not if they just say with Baobong. Baobong has a very limited type of merchandise, you know. Basically, it's for people who want a dual band or maybe a tri-band UHF, EHF radio, you know, 5 or 7 watt. That is, you know, you're not going to do something esoteric. You're not going to start doing moon bounce with a Baobong.
Well, I tell you, I had the Anytone ATD 878UV. I've had it since maybe 2018, 2019. And it worked great for a long time, and then for some reason it started giving me problems. I didn't know what to do, you know, and I left it there for like 2 or 3 years. Then I take the HT and I zoom to Google how to reset for factory reset, and I was able to figure it out, and it worked. It works great. It's a great radio. I just don't use the contactless because, you know, how many contacts exist and how many can go into the radio.
Well, if you're talking about the latest version of the Anytone, probably all of them. I lost track how many megabytes of memory data the chipset has, but as far as I'm aware, you could take the entire DMR IDs and load them into the latest high memory capacity Anytone ACs. They're orders of magnitude better than Baobong. They're not comparable. You don't pay extra margin like you do for Kenwood or ICOMs, but I find them to be very well made, and like I said, I own two of them.
QSO, yeah, I like them too. It would be the next step for Baobong to Anytone, and you can program it with Anytone software. Just need a Windows computer, and also you can program them annually, which is a really good feature. With my MD380, you can't do it.
Yeah, the TYT, like the MD380, is probably something in between Baofeng and Anytone. I find Anytone is sort of the high Chinese brand, at least these days.
Well, I guess I tried a couple of digital radios. Anytone seems to be the best one for convenience. And, you know, it's great that it has a little bit more power, so, you know, more people can hear it more so than not. And I like my ICOM ID 318 Plus. For analog, I can't get the D-Star to work.
That's odd. Any particular reason why? Could it be just a faulty machine, or is it misconfigured?
I don't think it's faulty. I think the problem is I just don't know how to do it.
Oh, okay. I mean, you know, with ESAR, you actually have to register your call sign with some organization. I think if you register it with any repeater, the repeater guy who runs it will send your information across all the other servers and such. So you do have to ID yourself before I think you can access an actual ESAR repeater.
QSL. Yeah, I have that. I use the ID 318 Plus to activate a simplex hotspot, which no longer works. So, you know, I think I have to buy a new simplex hotspot. You know, I know a vendor in China who has a website, and, you know, his particular product is very good because you can get, you can get export.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's very important. You know, playing a little bit of Russian roulette because, I knew a guy who bought a product that was manufactured in China. China, and unfortunately, given a Chinese email address to ask for help, and it never quite worked out.
USL. Yeah, well, this guy, he's a friend of mine on Facebook. Whenever I send him a text, he writes back. But, you know, I think there's a duplex hotspot with the dual hat, you know, or two talk through Brandmeister static talk group, you know. And I use the MD380 and I use the Anytone ADD878UV on that hotspot. And it works great. It works great. I've been using it maybe at least 10 or 12 years. It's been flying off.
Okay. I mean, ultimately, whatever works for you. I mean, some people need don't need anything too complicated, so they kind of keep it simple. And others like a little bit more sophistication. You know, I mean, the old days, you know, you had the 60 the handy talkies that you had. If you wanted to bridge a DMR, you wanted to do that for Fusion. You needed Fusion. If you needed a reflector, the DSR. You know, nowadays, the more sophisticated, i.e. more expensive, but electric crossband. So, you know, whatever you want, you can get.
USL. Yeah, I do like all these products, services that are offered. And, you know, it's good to know, you know, at least to have an idea whether there's quality and value in it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes it's overkill because people just don't need them. But if you need them, then they certainly come in very useful.
Well, I think if a person can figure out what it is they want, they figure out what they want, it's easier to get that. You know, if you go into it, I really don't know what I want. You know, how can you even have an idea of what you want, what that is?
Well, I mean, theoretically, one aspect, legitimate advertising, is informing the customer of new features. You know, I mean, everyone isn't globally aware of everything out there. You know, Apple comes up with a new feature, and some people hear about it before anyone else, and others never hear about it. And so, you know, advertising theoretically is a way you can learn that there's a new feature set that might be useful for you. You know, just because it never existed before, it means it's useful. So sometimes it isn't useful. Sometimes it's a problem in search of, it's a solution in search of a problem. I think technology is different for the last 20, 30 years, but just as often, they're actually a problem that exists.
Well, recently, I read an article about Apple and their products, specifically computers and iPhone, you know, that there was a serious flaw in the audio. And I don't know how many percent of distortion was in there. They had to filter it out with software, you know, and now they realize that if they build into the chip a digital to analog converter, you know, they can remove most of that distortion, and it would sound a million times better. You know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I went to the Apple store, and I told them, you guys got to put better DAC in the computer, and they threw me out of the store.
Okay, well, that's an interesting response. I mean, I had kind of negative effects in computer stores. I remember way back, I think it was in the 80s, they were selling me a new computer, which I really wanted to have, but their accessories were kind of bizarre and overpriced. Not really for that era, because the era was clean. They sold a hard drive, which was a big, heavy object that had an entire capacity, I think 1 mega, and they wanted $2,000 for it. You can't pick up a USB thumb drive for less than, say, about a gigabyte or so. So you can imagine, you know, what I kind of, but it just seemed bizarre. I think it was $2,000 for a megabyte. Anyway, so I didn't quite get thrown out of the store, but I was advised to leave, which is very similar. But yeah, I can understand. But, you know, I mean, Apple, you know, technology is technology, and could be like a normal thing to do that.
Audio breaking up.
I sent an email to Steve Jobs. I wrote to him. I said,
not much we can do about breaking up, I'm afraid.
You know, I write to Steve Jobs. I don't know how many years ago this was. I write to Steve Jobs and I told him, I have an idea. And he wrote back to me and he said, what is it?
Yeah, that was Steve Jobs. He was a kind of obsessive guy.
Yeah, but he's not going to offer me something for my idea?
No, not necessarily. That's another effect of Steve Jobs. He was not particularly a generous human being.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't fight with him about it. I just didn't tell him what the idea was.
Yeah, I assume he would have thought that very likely result of not taking the money.
Well, you know, I find that when somebody gets an Apple product for the first time, either an iPhone or a computer or something, they think they want to be the smartest person in the whole world.
You can't buy brains. You know, if you got money and want to buy yourself a toy, then congratulations. But, you know, I don't give people particular points for spending money they have. In some cases, spending money that they don't have.
Yeah, but you know, these products enable all kinds of other problems. Whether, you know, you realize it or not, people accept it and say, well, that's the way it is. But the problems can be so big.
Well, yeah, technology gives and takes. I mean, area. Unfortunately, I repeatedly use as an example that a hammer is very useful. You can build a house with one, but you can also cave in your neighbor's golf. So the same things in the eye. You can probably either use it or misuse it.
Sometimes, you know, you wonder who's listening to this conversation.
All manner of different people. I can gaze upon that, who's on Olgar and who's on Echolink and who's on the Ocean. And thankfully, it's a busy night.
Well, you know, there's lots of things that your phone can do, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, well, to Frank, it looks like no one has experienced the Cape Cod, which I think David suggested. I guess you can Google reviews for it. I have no experience with it. I have my old cell phone UV5, and I think the last time I used it was about 3 years ago. But, you know, it's my emergency radio. Anyway, moving on. David, you had a question or a topic you wanted to discuss?
Yes, I have a question. And this question is, when somebody gives you a so-so audio report on HF, either upper or lower side end, what could cause audio problems?
I mean, almost anything. Being off frequency, having RF get into your microphone amplifier, overloading the microphone amplifier, and causing a distortion. Lots of different things, unfortunately.
You know, I was looking on the internet for answers to this question. They talk about, like, if it's a radio malfunction, then it would require, calibration. And to say, I remember when I had Kenwood Twins, there were two VFOs, one for transmit, one for receive. And so I would know that my transmit frequency, is the same as the frequency of operation. Are you there, Roy?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm here.
So if you're talking to someone, the audio is a little bit kind of messed up, you know. If there's a way to tune up or tune down the receiver and leave the transmitter on the frequency of operation.
Yeah, there's been that adjustment for 2 years? A clarifier or something? I forget exactly the mechanism they use. But there's settings on most transceivers that shift only the transmitting frequency or the receiving frequency. And, you know, you just dial in the receiving frequency slightly off of your transmitting frequency, and you recover the audio. Usually it's just from the single sideband. If you think that doesn't have its own built-in carrier, it shifts at the frequency of your voice. You become a bit of a chipmunk.
KE2FYU, Roy, do you have a copy?
Yeah, George.
Right, your signal is breaking up, and just to let you know, something is going on, but you were talking about RIT, R-I-T.
Yeah, it's called the clarifier.
R-I-T, and then, you, of course, you have the IF shift, which can also bring you a few feet away, but your signal is breaking up in.
R-I-T and X-I-T. X-I-T is the clarifier for transmit.
I'm going to try and read that a little app. It's over in my messages.
Can you hear me, George?
You sound fine.
Yeah, David, you're coming in. I'm working just HF directly into Glen Oaks.
iPhone 15, thank you.
Correction, not HF, RF. RF directly into Glen Oaks.
No, the reason why
I'm waking up, I think he might be getting soft. You have to watch out for that. Roy is getting soft.
KD2FYU, let's stand by and let Roy get back in over here.
Yeah, please, let me get back. Is it any better now, or is it the same?
Roy, your signal is coming in fine.
Okay, I don't know. Another one of those weird days with the repeater, so I'm glad that I'm not noisy anymore. I'm sure it'll degrade over time, but hopefully we won't need to reset again.
QSL, he sound much better. You know, RIT and XIT, and the Yaesu by this, you know, they use a clarifier, RX clarifier and TX clarifier. So if somebody, you know, all the operating frequencies, they hear you on the operating frequency, you hear them a little bit off, you can set the clarifier up or down every 10 cycles, 10, 20, 30, 40, etc.
Yeah, I mean, functionally, they're the same thing. They're just labeled differently. Usually it's CB radios and such that tend to get the clarifier label, and an amateur radio equipment that gives you the initials of RIT and XIT. But functionally, they just shift the frequency of the receiver and the transmitter. That is how it works.
My cam with radios were RIT, and then it had a each component had its own BFO.
Okay.
Kilo Echo 2, Hotel Quebec Zulu.
Say again?
Kilo 2, Hotel Quebec Zulu.
What can I do you for?
Just had a comment. I've been listening since the beginning. Don't know if you can hear me very well, but you were talking about AI, and I think some of those seem to be just trying to sell products to each other now instead of selling a product.
Well, this is an infamous method that was very popular during .com. It's a circular sale. Six guys sitting down on a card table and a $50 bill, and they just give the $50 bill to the next guy to the right, around and around a few dozen times, and then they when they write up their books, they say that that's how much money that they made, even though it's the same $50 bill. It's used and abused very often in finances, and AI is a perfect example of it these days. You have NVIDIA basically giving money to the AI model makers, who then give the money back to NVIDIA for the chips, who then rent out the chips to other people, who then get money from NVIDIA, and around it goes. It's really, it's basically, they should all be hauled in by the SEC if we had an SEC.
Time will tell, you know, time will tell.
Oh, yeah, there'll be lots of books on this subject. There'll be probably 10 times as many books on this than there was with the .com disaster.
WNWR.
Okie doke. So, David, did we answer your question?
Yes, sir. I like my Yezu at FCB Radio.
Okay, well, it's yours. You paid good money for it. You should like it.
QFL. And I guess I just discovered that the other day, you know, how this thing works on a transceiver, you know, and how to say if a person is transmitting all of the operating frequency, you know, then what can they do to bring the transmit frequency back to center?
Well, basically bring it to a technician and have him reset the, it drifted off of its proper setting, and it needs to be aligned again.
Sure, so calibration. I think the word is calibration.
Yep, yep.
Wesley and Dave are related. They're twin brothers.
Thank you, Dr. Roy, and thanks again. Have a great night, KG2RY.
Thank you, David, and thank you for participating tonight. I do appreciate it.
Pleasure's mine.
Okie dokie, Nick on our lovely little list is Wesley. What do you got for us tonight, Wes?
I hope I'm coming good. If not, let me know. AI just created a new virus, biological virus. It's a subject for you. Should we be scared? That was BBC News. I hope you had a chance to look at your email.
Yeah, Wesley, can you kind of bring up the energy a bit? It sounds like you're whispering. You don't want to wake up a cat or something?
Okay, no. I didn't want this to be over-modulated. How is now?
That's fine. Yeah, getting back to your question, there was another one of these scare articles that scientists are building. This is I don't undermine the laser scare thing with AI. It is trying the hell out of more. It sounds like it's not like they just asked to build some sign viruses. They took a laundry list of use of genome and they fed it into artificial intelligence, and then a bunch of information and procedures to cobble them together, and then they cobbled them together. So they basically told the AI the answer, took the answer that they told the AI to tell them, and built them viruses, and then published it so that they would, so a lot of people would know their name. It's a bit of a scam.
Okay, something is taking, you have some problem with waking up. So part of your, actually, I was able to understand what you're talking, but if you don't mind and reset it again, it would be good. Back to you.
Okay.
You're breaking up there, Roy. I don't understand a fucking thing you're saying.
I want to talk about the mirror in space. Kilo Echo 2, Hotel Quebec, Zulu.
Okay, how am I now, Wesley?
Not that at all. Okay, so coming back, because part of your of what you were saying was lost. So we have a synthetic virus made by AI, and the question was, should we be scared? If you don't mind me, a few words, repeat what you said again.
It's not made by AI. Basically, a bunch of scientists put in a couple of fundamental genomes and basically set the parameters and basically told the AI to tell the scientists what they already know. And then the scientists put it together into a book. So it's not that AI made a viable virus. It's a bunch of scientists who wanted to get publicity, kind of fake it from the AI. The AI was just an echo. It's a sort of the same thing. You go to Echo, you go to the Echo test, and you tell it the secret of the universe to say, well, the Echo Link told me the secret of the universe.
Okay, thank you very much. Grant versus Counter Voice. So we have a little discussion. Grant is direct electrical connection to the air, providing a low resistance path for electrical currents, but its quality depends on the moisture content, soil type, and temperature. Then we have on the counter voice, and I'm reading it. It's a network of elevated wires that serve as a substitute for the ground, especially when proper ground connection is not visible. Counter voice have a complete antenna circuit and provide radiation efficiency, whatever. And I have a problem with that. And for the purpose of the discussion, I decided to challenge it. So my challenging explanation is ground serve as a part and counterpoise serve as a balance. Those two phenomena are unrelated one to each other and are entirely distinct from each other. Back to you, Dr. Rock.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same. And matter of resources, what's going on is an unfortunate misinterpretation of the term ground. We talked about this endlessly. That unfortunately, language is our enemy. Assigning different things to the same word and confuse the heck out of everyone. If you sit down, even though I don't particularly thrilled with artificial intelligence, and ask me any artificial intelligence, is a earth ground the same as a counterpoise? The answer will always be it's a substitute, it's not the same thing. You're setting up a statement that doesn't actually exist in science. So there is no place in line that says that a ground plane, a earth ground, is equivalent to a counterpoise. They're not. They can be sort of used for substitute, but that's not the same as being the same thing.
Okay. And to Jen, I agree with that. So we're talking about a counterpoise, and we have in mind the word balance. One arm of the dipole antenna acts as a counterpoise to the other arm, creating a balance system that allows for effective radiation of the electromagnetic wave. If we're talking about a dipole, then if we're talking about a car, monopole antenna on the car, and the body of the car acting as a counterpoise, it is a balance. For a monopole antenna,